Welcome to episode 114 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your hosts,
Tish
and Dr. T. In this episode of the podcast, we preview round one of the 2019 NRL season. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Right, welcome to episode 114 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to bring you the everyday fan's perspective on the greatest game of all, rugby league. This is Rugby League for the People. I am your co-host, Dr. T. Joining me is Tish. Tish, how are you going this week?
Well, Dr. T, I am excited. I'm enthusiastic. I am over the moon. I am raring to go, ready to go. I'm all the cliches in one because, you know, we're just a few nights away from the greatest game of all, rugby league, the NRL season 2019. So I'm really stoked. I'm really happy and excited. But how about yourself? How are you doing there, Dr. T?
Look, I've got to say I'm pumped, just like you are. I'm pumped for the season.
Yeah.
You might say we're kind of, both of us are very excited. We're high on life. I'd just like to do a bit of a shout out to some of you guys out there. Think that maybe we've been we've had some additional help to get excited, that we might be drinking, shall I say, during this podcast. I can reassure you, those of you out there who are thinking that is absolutely not true. We do this completely sober, this podcast. With the exception of, I am high on Codral. Does that count? Maybe not.
But you're soldiering on, which is.
I'm soldiering on just like a true NRL warrior. Well, not the Warriors from New Zealand, of course, because they haven't done very well. But you know, like as a true, you know what I mean. But anyway.
As a Golden State warrior. How's that, you know?
That's right. That's right. Look. We're pumped. This is going to be a super season. We've already given you guys a couple of episodes where we preview, we look into our crystal ball. We look back at the off season, and now we're going to dive right in to the NRL season proper, about to start this weekend. Really, really excited about this. So, look, let's start our tackles, shall we? We usually, those of you who aren't familiar, we start, we usually talk about six tackles in rugby league. That's what sets us apart from that dreary other game, which has an unlimited number of tackles and goes on forever and ever. I don't know what that game's called. I keep forgetting. They keep wanting to call themselves World something. I don't know. World Poker? World Tennis? I don't know.
That's true.
Whatever, but we're talking about the real rugby game, NRL. That's right. So here we go with our six.
Let's kick off our first set of six, shall we say that?
Yeah, let's kick it off. Let's do it. Here we go, six tackles. And I should have said tackle number one.
Oh, yeah. I will do that again.
There you go.
Extra
tackle
excited.
Number one. That's all right. The NRL, a new era begins. So there's been a lot of hype this week, or for a long time, actually. No less from Mal Meninga, NRL.com columnist.
Rugby league coach, Australian rugby league coach.
And the Kangaroos coach, of course. But according to NRL.com, he's just an NRL.com columnist. So there you go. You only can hold one hat at a time if you're an NRL.com columnist. Doesn't matter who you are, you have to be a columnist. So there you go. So Mal Meninga's talking a lot about how, look, the NRL slogan for this year is a new era begins. And I guess I wanted to sort of raise this. Look, is it really a new era? What's new this year, Tish? Or is it just same old with the NRL this year? So let's have a discussion. What do you reckon? What's new about this year?
Well, the only thing new that I could find about this year is the zero mercy policy they just announced about player welfare. That's, you know, the NRL could fire anybody, but that's about it. Like, really. You know, look, there's lots of player transfers, lots of player movements. But we've had that over the last 2 years as well. You know, I suppose the Magic Weekend, that's kind of something new. But I think a lot of the stuff that is the new era type stuff has been stuff that they're sort of been promoting, you know, some of the stuff they're talking about happening in the next few years, you know, the changes to the international calendar and, you know, some new proposals that we'll probably talk about. But really, yeah, I don't see anything that new. Yeah, I suppose one thing is that we had a lot of retirements last year, and we do have probably a lot of retirements this year as well, and a lot of big-name players that have sort of dominated representative rugby league are probably, you know, in their final season or just retired last year. You know, we talk about Sam Thaiday and others. I can't remember anybody else at the moment. But, yeah, but there could be Benji and Robbie's last season. You know, what's happened with Cameron Smith? You know, is Paul Gallen going to play till 50 or is this going to be his last season? You know, what's going to happen with, you know, with some of these players? So I think that's, you know, I think that's kind of where people are thinking about when it comes to the NRL. So maybe it's a new era because there's lots of new young players because all the old players are going away. Maybe that's what the new era means. But what does the new era mean for you there, Dr. T?
I was just about to say that the only thing I could get from Mal Meninga's article was exactly what you just said, which is, you know, there's an air of excitement about the young players coming through this year. You know, some that we've seen perform quite well last year. We're expecting big things from them this year. Ponga, yeah. David Fifita, Victor Radley, you know, players like that. You know, there's quite a few good players. So I think on that front, I agree, Mal Meninga. You know, it's quite exciting. But, you know, would you say that it's any more exciting than any other kind of NRL season? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the same sort of buzz you have every year, right? So maybe it should be NRL copy and paste.
I could see that getting past the NRL marketing team.
Yep.
Let's go with copy and paste and, you know, let's get who are we going to get to advertise it, you know? I don't know. Get Mal Meninga, NRLcolumn.com columnist.
Yeah, that's right.
Why not? We get the big names. Yeah, look, I know it's a marketing thing, but if anything, we spoke about this, I think, in the last, in the off-season one, podcast, but we spoke about the Super League in the UK. They really are making some big changes there. If anyone should talk about it's a new era, it's them. NRL.com, NRL this season, more likely the better motto should be, you know, NRL 2019, business as usual.
Business as usual, I like it, you know.
I like it too. All right, so let's move on to tackle number two. Can't let this one go, Tish. I know we want to look to the future, but we got to talk about the off-season yet again because since last week, the Panthers have just gone from bad to worse. Let's have a quick chat about the Panthers off-season from hell. Look, it's gotten so bad that Phil Gould has, I think he's kind of, is he thinking of giving up his media duties or something? I don't know what he's thinking of doing, but you know, he's questioning whether he's wearing too many hats, which has sent a lot of rapturous applause throughout the Bulldogs community. I don't know. Yeah. A lot of people who don't like watching him on TV are very happy that he might be, you know, hanging up his microphone to concentrate on the Panthers and helping them out. But I don't think that's going to happen. But Tish, what's going on with the Panthers? Let's just talk about that for a minute. Do you think they can recover? Remember, we had them slated as going you know, super well this year. I think I actually had them as grand finalists in my tip last week. What's going on? Can they recover?
Look, I think, to be honest, look, I did see some of the players front the media this week talking about obviously everything that's been happening, and, you know, Phil Gould sort of being a little like, you know, a bit depressed, you know, a bit sort of questioning, you know, what is he doing? Should he stay at the Panthers? Should he give that up? Should he focus on his media stuff? Should he give up the media stuff to focus on the Panthers? What's happening? All that kind of stuff. And some of the players were like, you know, obviously everything that's happened, it's, you know, we're all trying to band together. But I actually think that, you know, I think that the Panthers have sort of got a good squad. I think they've realized that they're in that window of opportunity to win a premiership. They've been into the finals the last two seasons. You know, their squad is going to slowly diminish over the next few years, and they'll have to bring up new players because, you know, some of the players have been there for a while now, and, you know, without getting a renewed contract of a certain value, they might have to let them go. They've already had to let go some really good players, you know, such as Tyrone Peachy. So the thing is, they're in that window now where they really do need to win a premiership in the next, you know, couple of years. And I think that's what the team's going to be focused on. You know, you've got Ivan Cleary there. Ivan Cleary is a very, he was a very consistent player. And now I think as a coach, he's probably going to demand that consistency as well. You know, last year, I remember they were the comeback specialists, you know. If they were down 14-0, you'd think they'd win the game because they were just sort of so good at coming back. But I think this year they want to be more of a dominant team. So I think, yes, these distractions have sort of happened. These are disruptions to your off-season and so forth. But just from hearing, you know, some of the players talk, I felt that it was almost like a us-against-them sort of mentality, and it's actually brought the players together a bit more. And I think that's actually going to be more of a positive than a negative. So I think the Panthers are going to turn the negative into a positive, and they're going to have a good season. I mean, their roster demands them to have a good season, and I think it's just going to happen. So what about your thoughts there, Dr. T? Do you think this has rattled them too much?
Look, possibly. I mean, you did mention they were the comeback kings last year, so I guess the question is, can they come back from an off-season of hell?
Yes.
From hell. But, yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I think they've got too much going on. Like, with Ivan Cleary coming in and just so much, you know, quite some interesting changes happening, I think it's actually an opportunity for them to kind of reform the nucleus of a new team. Peachy gone is a huge loss, and you know, it remains to be seen what the Clearys will do about that, and whether they've got what it takes to kind of, you know, form a new nucleus around you know, a team around that nucleus. So and I think it all comes down to them, and it all comes down to the leadership players. If you've still got Maloney, you've got Cleary, yeah, up and coming, even though he's a youngster. So I think the basics are there. The fundamentals are there. It shouldn't be that big a deal. And look, the reason why I raised the Penrith Panthers is, you know, we've had some big issues with a few other clubs that pertain to pretty much individual players. Yeah. But in this case, this is the only case I think where we've not one. We're going to talk about another one next, but this is another one, a case where the off-field behaviour of several players, yes, allegedly, is at question, and it really strikes at the heart of the culture. Yep. And one of the things that I forgot to mention, I don't know if you mentioned it last week, but Laurie Daly has come out swinging against the Penrith Panthers. He said something to the effect of, you know, I wouldn't let my son play for the Penrith Panthers. And that, wow, has really rattled. I mean, you know, is this the ultimate comeback for Phil Gould still in his seat at that State of Origin game? yes. Because that's the only way I could see this panning out, is that Laurie's waited for his moment, and then this is his burn.
Unleashed.
He's unleashed the loser. It's the ultimate comeback. But no, look, I think for him to say that, and Laurie Daly's got to be one of the nicest guys in rugby league, that's saying something about what he thinks is going on with the culture over there at Penrith. And that's got to cut Gus Gould and the others to the bone. So, some really.
And I just thought that I just realized also, you know, Mark Geyer is, because obviously there were rumors about his family's involvement in some of these things. And
he's actually going to sue whoever it was that actually a Facebook meme kind of page. He's suing them because they claimed that his daughter was one of the people in the sex tapes or whatever, which wasn't true. And he has every right to sue the hell out of them. So good luck with that.
Yeah. So, but I think there was talk that he might even sue the club. But then after Laurie Daly made his comment, he's like going after Laurie Daly. So, they are in a bit of all sorts. But James Maloney has, he's part of the RPLA board. And over the new policy, he's come out swinging, saying, it's they've gone over the top, which is an interesting position to have. But anyway, that's another thought. So, yeah, there is a lot of distractions. But look, I think ultimately, I think that it will. They do feel like everybody's attacking them, and sometimes when you feel that way, it might actually bring a better. A better sort of closeness, because you feel like the only way to get out of it is to put good results on the field. Look, my wife's a Penrith Panthers supporter. She almost cancelled her membership after what she had heard. So,
wow.
So I think they have their fans do feel very ripped off about how they are. And then, the only way you could sort of bring those fans back is by putting good performances on the field.
Absolutely. And that I wonder how many other fans are feeling the same way as your wife. I mean,
yeah,
that's a real shame. But look, there's only one other team that's had it worse than the Penrith Panthers in the off season. Yeah. And we're going to talk about them in tackle three. Cronulla Sharks, busted for salary cap breaches, huge salary cap breaches.
Yeah.
So much so that the Storm have come out and indicated that they think the Cronulla Sharks should be stripped of their 2016 NRL Premiership because it happened to coincide with that time. Look, you hit rock bottom, Tish, when the Melbourne Storm are trying to climb onto the moral high ground.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not even talking about Cam Smith and his smug, moral, hoity-toity kind of attitude. It's the club itself has done this, and look, this is just ridiculous. Poor old Cronulla Sharks, they've gone from bad to worse. They've got, I think, what else has happened this week? They sacked their CEO last week.
Yep.
What else is going to happen? Have they got any sponsors? I don't know what's going on. They might not even have any. Who knows? The New South Wales government might rip down their stadium since they're into doing that lately. Who knows what's going to happen? But poor old Cronulla. Look, what are your thoughts on the Cronulla Sharks? Look, there was so much sympathy for them and kind of, general support when they won the premiership. But, the underdogs, they hadn't won for or ever. Their maiden premiership. And for that maiden premiership to be under a cloud, is just absolutely dreadful. I take it that the severity or the magnitude of the breach wasn't as bad as a Storm, but the question still remains, at what point do you decide as an organisation, as a game, to strip a premiership on the grounds of salary cap breaches, which, as we know, the arguments that were made when the Storm did it, detrimental, there are ripples throughout the whole game. Could you argue the same thing here? So over to you, Tish. What do you think? Are the Storm right in taking the moral high ground? What do we do?
Well, look, if you have breached the been caught cheating for the salary cap, then and in particularly in the season that you actually won the premiership, then I think your premiership actually should be stripped. their one and only premiership as well, which is pretty sad. I think the current issue that we were sort of talking about, I think, is to do with James Ciriaco and the might have oversigned players for this year as well. So it just keeps getting bad. You know, the thing about the Sharks is you do hear so much news about them just about every season. You know, whether it's player scandals, whether it's you know, something happening at the board, where the club has got no money, whether it's lost sponsors, this and that, and you know, we've had the same again. So, you know, talking about business as usual, it's kind of like business as usual at the Sharks, isn't it? They're kind of known now, notorious for off-field drama. So, yeah, look, but I think to your question directly, if they were in breach in that season that they did actually win the premiership, then they should be stripped. It just should be a rule that happens throughout. Then it just stops teams from actually doing it. That's what we want, right? So unless you're going to take the – and they took that strong stance against the Storm and, you know, did it deter other clubs? I think there was a while there where a lot of clubs were deterred, but then, you know, it's kind of popped up again. So I think when you've I do think the NRL needs to come down hard on them. You know, I know it kind of adds to their woes, but at the end of the day, a salary cap breach is a salary cap breach. And if you, I think the idea is whether the management intentionally did it, like with the Melbourne Storm. You know, there were two sets of books. There were, you know, Cameron Smith apparently signed two contracts in that time. So, you know, if it's like a, like, you know, sometimes you could sort of go over by mistake or something like that. But I think with the Melbourne situation, it was a deliberate attempt to defraud the NRL. And I think the Sharks are in a similar boat. I don't think it was just a clerical error. You know, somebody had forgotten the batteries of the calculator when they were trying to work it all out.
It when that happens, when the batteries run out in a character. Look,
that's right. Which is why they've got a solar power sponsor, right. Actually. So,
oh, really? That makes total sense.
Yeah. So that's How about your thoughts there? Do you think it's should be stripped of their premiership?
Well, I mean, I was just listening to you, Tish, come around to my way of thinking, which was initially you were just like, yes, they should be, you know, very absolutist, hard line. If it's in the year of that premiership, yes, they should be stripped. And then you were like, oh, well, but it depends if it was a deliberate versus.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and then I was going to ask, well, how much over the limit do you count as, okay, if you're this much over? And then how do you prove deliberateness? Like, how do you prove that? So it's a grey area for a reason, which is why I'm going to suggest, you know, this is what we do on this podcast. We come up with crazy harebrained idea, you know, hairy ideas. Why don't we just go back to no salary cap?
Oh,
like if there's so much fuss about, and everyone does it deliberately or not, and there's so much. All this ridiculous, like, one other thing that's a side thing is that I've heard that, you know, part of the mess that that Des Hasler left at the Bulldogs with all this back ending of contracts and all this sort of stuff, and he said he'd had it all sorted out, but then he left and now they're trying to work out what the hell he was trying to work out. And their calculator, their Casio calculator, doesn't add up to the Hasler calculator. So now they're thinking, has he, Desi, what have you done to us? You know, come back. But no, he's gone to Manly. So really, now it boils down to, look, if it's so hard to work out and it's so complicated, and you've got all sorts of, like, really, they're just workarounds. Like, in my view, if there's all these workarounds in any business process, wouldn't you look at it as a CEO and go, something needs to be simplified because we can't have people having all these, you know, like, what's the solution to the problem? The problem is we want equality and we want as many, you know, we want fairness in the competition and kind of spreading of what's the word I'm looking for? We want competition. We want even a competition as we can make it. Okay, yeah. That's the problem, right? So they ended up with a solution of, well, we've got to stop certain teams just buying up other players and just spending.
Buying a competition, basically.
Buying a competition. Okay. So then we came up with a salary cap. But then we've got all these, they've got this and that. And even we have talked about workarounds upon that workaround, which is, well, let's have a point system. And what about discounts if you're loyal, because we want to keep players loyal to clubs. So the discount if you're a long-term player of a club. But then what about discount if we want player teams to blood new players? So let's give a discount for that. So you see how like you can work yourself up into the most convoluted of systems just to deal with the problem of wanting to make it fair. An even competition so that when fans turn up to games, they genuinely don't know if their team's going to win or not. The whole idea is the unpredictability of it, right? So if that's the problem, but then all our solutions are leading to more problems, which actually you could argue, you know, all these things that have happened, all these scandals could easily have been, you know, like they're actually more damaging to the game than having a competition with no salary cap where three or four clubs are richer and happen to buy up, you know, kind of like
the winning every premiership.
And winning every premiership. Like what's more damaging to the game? Well, no. I mean, that doesn't always happen. Like we can always come up with alternatives to like some of the, you know, the Premier League and all, you know, other sort of competitions in football or in soccer where, you know, certain teams are always up there. Surely there are other solutions. So I guess my parting thought is, why don't we genuinely consider going back to no salary cap, but with some other kind of check and balance?
Yeah.
So that way, so again, part of the other consequence of doing a salary cap is that you get players leaving the code because they feel like they're not getting paid what they're worth. Yeah. Sonny Bill, etc. You know, so again, legitimate things are occurring. So over, you know, Tish, just if we can just talk about this for a minute, very quick 1 minute response to that? What are we going to do? Is that a possible way to just, because I'm sick of hearing these salary cap breaches, scandal.
Yeah.
Surely we can do something about it. What do you reckon?
Well, look, I think there needs to be a check and balance. I think there's got to be a way of ensuring the evenness of the competition. I think that's the objective of the salary cap. And in that respect, it's done a great job. I suppose that's the goal. But the problem is the side effect has been scandal after scandal after scandal, right? Has been a complicated system. It has meant that players have had to go to other codes to try and get paid better. So, and you know what? You know, two people cannot walk together unless they're agreed. So two goals cannot sort of be the same unless they're sort of two goals that are agreed. So a salary cap is one goal, but then, you know, ensuring that players get paid to their maximum possibility is another goal, and those two goals cannot work together. They just simply cannot because the two sort of contradict each other, right? So, so we've got to find. So it's kind of like the two ends of the one line, right? And we just got to find. We've got to find where that balance is, and that's probably the problem. Probably the salary cap is a bit too. The other thing is obviously the salary cap has got to increase as the money comes in, and then you also got to think about clubs that actually have. You know, they've got other reasons outside the cap why players want to play there. For instance, the opportunity to have more media commitments, which obviously means more income for the players. Also where you want to live, like sort of living on the Gold Coast compared to sort of living in Canberra. That kind of thing. So, and you know, you've seen a lot of players who've moved to New Zealand because of their New Zealand heritage. So, you know, there's going to be all those factors that need to that sort of make it unfair. But then that's also, you know, life isn't fair either as well. So, I think you can only go a certain amount. So, look, you're right. Look, I'm confused. I really don't know what to do. But the reality is, you are right. It's kind of like democracy, isn't it? You know, democracy isn't the best system in the world, but it's kind of better than everybody else. I feel like that way with the salary cap. It's not the best solution out there, but you know, we need to have an alternative that still brings the fairness into the competition, because that's been a good thing that rugby league has done. I don't want it to go down the path of the NFL or the EPL, where you've got, the Patriots and, you know, a team from Manchester just dominating every single year. And that's because there is no check and balance. I think you do need to have something that sort of forces good clubs to get rid of good players because they need to be sustainable. Like, and I think that's what the salary cap does. So, yeah. Final All thoughts. Right. Kind of around in the circle again, so getting really dizzy here. Let's talk about salary caps.
That's all right. Maybe we'll get back to unlimited tackles, eh? One day. Yes. We're just taking our ideas back to the past.
That's right. That's right. 5-meter rule. Where are you?
Back when Tommy Radonikis yelled cattle dog, you know, back in those days.
That's right.
All right. So let's move on to another positive or more positive news. Tackle number 4. Bankwest Stadium, which is the new Parramatta Stadium, is I think it's nearing completion. It's looking pretty good. Obviously some politicians out there sort of announcing and cutting the ribbon kind of thing and looking around, and there's it looks fantastic. I gotta say, it's a very modern looking stadium. I think it's something that the Eels fans will call it home this year. I think we've got our first, is it round 4? I think our first game there. I'll look that up. But obviously we're sharing that with the Western Sydney, what do they call them? The Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah.
In the soccer. So, look, something for the Eels fans to, you know, rejoice about, that at least they'll be getting a new stadium this year. So
yeah,
if nothing else, they'll have nicer amenities and all that kind of stuff. The latest of things when they play their home game. So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, Tish. I think they've got, for those of you in Sydney, I think one thing I've heard is that there's a stadium kind of open day in a few weeks.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'll look that up when it is, actually. But, yeah, have you had a chance to look at it at all?
I've seen some pictures. I actually saw the New South Wales Premier on the news walking on the ground. Obviously, it's a very controversial move in New South Wales because of the funding that has to go into these programs of building the new stadiums, where it could have been allocated into other things. But then, look, that's probably for a political podcast, not an NRL podcast. But I think it's good for Parramatta. They haven't had a home stadium in the past year, so maybe this was maybe that was part of the reason why they kind of they really didn't have that home ground advantage last year, and as a result, finished on the wooden spoon. And maybe they've got a home, so they'll be able to sort of, you know, turn that into a fortress. I think it's going to be like, I think every time you go into a new stadium, you obviously need to get used to the playing surface. You got to make it your fortress, where, you know, a bit like the Brookvale Oval of the old, or the Leichhardt Oval, where, you know, teams fear going over there. And I think, hopefully for Parramatta, it makes it, gives them an opportunity to do that. And the stadium looks beautiful, looks clean, it looks state of the art. I'm surprised it doesn't have a roof. I think all new stadiums should have a roof, so they could control the conditions. Imagine Parramatta guaranteed never to have a wet game, and they could just go for a team that's just based on speed. That would be awesome if they could sort of give themselves that sort of an advantage. And they have to share it with the Western Sydney Wanderers. For me, it doesn't make sense how a team called the Wanderers has a home ground. They should just be wandering from stadium to stadium. So, yeah, so that doesn't make sense, but that's a different code. So, yeah, I'm excited to go and see it. I do want to go this year and check it out and, you know, hopefully somewhat better than Campbelltown Stadium.
Well, if you do want to check it out, you're in luck because I've just looked it up and there is an open day. It's a community open day that all fans will be able to, for free, it's to go and have a look at the Bankwest Stadium in Parramatta. It's Sunday the 14th of April, so lock that into your diaries, everyone in Sydney.
Yeah.
You actually, let me just read it. This is from Ticketek. So you can actually buy tickets from Ticketek. So fans will be able to experience a unique stadium design, including the proximity of seats to the pitch, steeper grandstands, and 360-degree views from the concourse. Meet other supporters, explore the venue, experience some of the food available, and find your seat at upcoming events. The Community Open Day is your opportunity to immerse yourself at the new Bankwest Stadium. Tickets are free. However, you will need to redeem a ticket and choose a session to attend. So there are four sessions left, which is 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2. So there must be, one half hour session. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
You can get tickets on Ticketek. It's about a month away, to a Sunday the 14th of April. Consider it. I think that would be clear my schedule and see what it's like, and then we'll report back at a future podcast what it's like, and we'll see. This first opportunity to have a look before the players get in there and ruin it with their footy studs. Anyway,
right. And I think the Tigers are playing a couple of home deck. They're playing against the Roosters around 16 as well, and yeah, so, and I think Tigers vs. Eels around 17 is also going to be there. So, so the Tigers are playing a couple of home games there as well. So, they're already sharing the ground, Parramatta. So, yeah. And I think the World Cup of Nines is happening later on in the season, later on in the year as well. So, yeah, exciting things for Parramatta.
Awesome. And Western Sydney.
I'm sure
there's
going to be some Indian events there as well.
Of course. There should be. All right, tackle number 5. So, Tish, you wanted to talk about the NRL wildcard weekend proposal. Go for it.
Oh, yes. So, look, the NRL has announced, you know, similar to the NFL and so forth, that they're sort of, they're actually thinking about doing a wild card weekend. So what is a wild card weekend? Well, basically what it means is that during the final series, teams that finish 9 and 10 will actually play the teams playing 7 and 8 for the last two spots in the NRL. So in the NRL final series. So you still have a top 8, but then just before the top 8 you have a wild card weekend where we're sort of 8 plays 10 and then 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you sort of continue on with the final series before it adds an extra week to the calendar, and it also means it's cuz sometimes the teams that have finished 9 and 10 might actually have a better for and against than teams running 7 and 8. They just sort of had those narrow losses here or there. So it does mean that perhaps, potentially, you've got you might have a team that finished 9 and 10 that could actually do a bit more damage to the top 8 teams or the top 6 teams, later on in the series. So I think that will bring that excitement. And this new format, that they've proposed, they've already sent it out to their media contacts. They're sort of putting it into their bid for the upcoming media deal. But it could start as early as next year. So, kind of exciting news. If we go based on last year, I think that would mean that Canberra and the West Tigers would be the two teams from the 2018 competition that would have that opportunity to play 7 and 8. And look, just with one team, Tigers, obviously good to see them in the finals. But the thing about the Tigers is that they beat the Storm, they beat the Roosters, they beat quite a number of, they beat the Dragons as well. They might have had one game where they beat South Sydney as well. So they were one of the, you know, the teams that missed out but ended up beating quite a lot of the top eight themselves. So that could have really made the finals interesting if they made it. But I think overall I'm kind of against this really, because I think it kind of rewards mediocrity in a little bit. It would be good if there was 20, like a 20-team competition and you had the wildcard weekend. But I think at the moment, 16-8, even 16-8 for me sometimes feels like too many teams. But what about your thoughts there, Dr. T?
Oh, look, I agree with what you just said. I think the argument that it rewards mediocrity and that you could get, you know, like the fact that you could get teams that have like negative for and against and have lost more than they've won, even competing at the end of the season for a chance to be in the finals, which is what it is really. Yeah. It's really an extended final series. I mean, let's be frank. Like that to me is rewarding mediocrity, but you know, another way to look at it, and I'm so glad you brought it up, that one way that this could be palatable to audiences is if they give us more teams and expand the competition, which is one of my predictions from last week for the season in my crystal ball. I think that could be potentially the carrot that gets brought along here to say, look, if we bring in more teams, then obviously the makeup in terms of for and against and wins and losses will differ. So the team that comes 9th or 10th won't necessarily have a negative, you know, for and against, because you've now got more teams. Mm. Now, one way I think this will work is if we go, definitely we go from 18. We go to, how many teams we got now?
We got 16.
16. Well, we need to go a lot higher than that. I think we need to go to 20. If we want 10, we need to go to 20. Otherwise, there's something. It's almost like 50% is a magic number. If you allow more than 50% of your teams to go into a top eight, like a final series, people will start questioning that. Now we're on it at the moment with top eight out of 16.
Yeah.
The only way to make it work for this situation, this proposal, is if we go to 20, which again, that's four new teams. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So on that basis, I think it probably won't work, and it won't be successful. Mm. And look, actually, but I can see it from obviously the media perspective, the ability to sell more games and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's my counter proposal to the NRL, because they are getting a bit of a backlash. They've actually gone out and tried to consult with communities and et cetera. And I think they're getting a huge backlash on the idea. A lot of people think that they're stupid. You know, in fact, anytime I've seen this in the social media, it's almost always Todd Greenberg quit. You know, like that's usually what you see rather than focusing on the issue. People just jump to Todd Greenberg. But I think the fact that he's actually decided to consult with people is a good thing. Mm. So here's another idea. Todd Greenberg, if you're listening to us, here's my idea as a counter proposal, because I don't think this will get off the ground at all. You know, I think what we need to do is, if you want to sell more games, how about sell a knockout competition throughout the year that involves all levels of rugby league, not just the NRL, but some of the, you know, the lower tiers, get them involved. Now, why is that important? Well, you know how we were talking about, you know, the pathway of some of the South Pacific teams and the fact the PNG team in the Queensland Cup has had a success recently, and we want Fiji to enter the New South Wales Cup and all that sort of stuff. Well, having a knockout competition, first of all, it's another trophy that players can aim for. It's another thing that could be won by teams. It also allows a bit of a democratization of the game and a competition where it's knockout, and obviously the NRL teams would come in at the later stages. You don't want them playing, you know, park footballers. That would be ridiculous. But at some point, you bring in some teams where, you know, it'd be great to see some of the lesser, you know, the less successful NRL teams of the year up against a successful Queensland Cup team. You know, they might actually be in with a shot of winning. Who knows what, and that in itself would give you such incredible exposure. I mean, fancy seeing, you know, fancy this, West Tigers versus the Fiji, whatever, at Bankwest Stadium. I mean, you could fill that stadium with that kind of, you know, knockout, you know, round of 16 of the AMCO Cup or whatever you want to call it. That to me is my counter proposal. I think that would work a lot better than this if all they want to do is get more games for TV coverage.
And I think doing a second competition that is a knockout style that includes other teams, I think the other positive to that is that it actually gives exposure to some of the lower grades and the lower competitions that don't have that TV exposure at the moment. So it actually allows them to then get a bigger following. You know, get more people to sort of know the brand a bit more, so that when they do get sort of when the competition expands, you don't have a South Queensland Crushers competition. You know where you've got you know, a team with no heritage, no background, no fan base has to compete in the same market as a giant profitable privately owned company like the Brisbane Broncos, right? So that's where the expansion will work, and then the teams that are expanding won't be a negative thing, and they'll be a positive. And I think it's I don't think it's that going to be that much from a financial cost to actually put together, because you've got so many, you know, junior clubs and teams out there, right, already. So you know, it's just a matter of obviously maybe a bit of work in terms of building the infrastructure so you could actually show the games there or not. But, you know, you start off with, what, you know, 132 or something like clubs. And then, you know, you have like 7 or 8 rounds where that sort of comes down every week. And, you know, you could have, you know, the Brisbane Broncos taking on, you know, the Redcliffe Dolphins or something like that, you know, some craziness like that. But it'd be such an interesting competition and such an interesting scene. And as you're right, there's another trophy. So back to the whole wild card top 8 thing. I think one of the things that the reason why it works in the NRL in the NFL, is that you have 32 teams, and then you only have the 6 teams from each division that actually get a final spot. So that's 12 out of 32. So it's not quite even 50%. Which means that you only got good teams happening there. But the part of the reason why they do have it also is because you've got that situation where you've got all these divisions, and then you need, you know, the teams with the best sort of records get a bye in the first round. And really, because the NRL only has one conference and one division, I think that's why we need to have an odd number of teams in the final series. So it gives the team that actually finished first a week off and gives them an advantage over all the other teams in terms of that week break. I think at the moment, so I'm more in favor of top 5s, top 7s, top 9s than I am of a top 8. Because I just think that there's no other than winning the JJ Giltlin Shield, there's no real benefit to finishing 1 as opposed to finishing 2. So so it doesn't really matter if you finish 1 or 2 at the moment. And I think that's kind of a problem. And I think the reason why is because we only have one conference. So there's only really one team that you should be rewarded. So I think the NRL does need to look at it. It's good that they're thinking outside the box a little bit. But I think just with the way the current format of the competition is, I don't think there's enough teams to go around to make this happen.
Yeah, I agree. Can you imagine top 9? You know, we've got the 9s and we've got the top 9 going forward. That would be pretty interesting. So
999
on Channel 9. Oh no, we can't lock ourselves into that, please.
Maybe Channel 10. Maybe Channel 10 is bidding. That's why they've wanted 10 teams.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. I hadn't considered that. You're right. Mm, all right. Well, I'd hate for SBS to because there'd be zero teams. Didn't there used to be Channel Zero? Anyway. Yeah. All right, whatever. All right, look, let's go on to tackle number six. And here we are, the round one tips. Now, I don't know about you, Tish, but I'll go through the games, but I don't think there's much to preview in any of the. We have no idea, really, of the form going into this. And as what happened last year, if it's going to be like this, it's going to be topsy-turvy for the first few weeks, so we'll have no idea what's going on. But we will push through regardless. So are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Storm versus Broncos. Who are you tipping?
Look, because it is in Melbourne, it's a big trek from Brisbane to Melbourne. I'm going to tip the Storm.
I'm tipping the Broncos. I actually think that they, with a new coach, I think they'll get a bit of enthusiasm and a bit of change. So I'm tipping the Broncos. Knights versus Sharks. Look, I'm tipping the Knights on this one.
Okay, no, I am thinking that Sean Johnson will be raring to go, so I'm going to tip the Sharks.
Roosters versus Rabbitohs. I think the Rabbitohs are, well, I think they'll be doing very well.
Really?
So, yeah, okay. I think they'll win.
Oh, okay, look, I think that it's at the Sydney Cricket Ground, so, you know, and there's been some problems with the pitch. But I think overall, I think the Roosters, I don't see any weaknesses in them, so I'm tipping the Roosters.
All right, Warriors versus Bulldogs. Look, the Bulldogs have also had a bit of a, you know, disrupted off-season, losing Hasler as coach and then obviously with Dylan Napo's situation. So I think the Warriors will actually – I wonder if the Warriors will break free from the shackles of Sean Johnson. So Warriors will win this one.
Yeah. Well, look, this is – at Mount Smart Stadium. The thing is, without Sean Johnson, they've got a new guy in Adam Kerrigan, but they don't. They're also the number nine, is actually Nathaniel Roach and not Isaac Luke. So, yeah, so I see a bit of a weakness in their spine. Of course, the spine of the Bulldogs has got Kieran Foran back in. I think Lachlan Lewis is going to play. So I think the Bulldogs might actually, they might have a bit of an upset. You know, it's, the Warriors don't start off the year that well, and I think the Warriors have got that. The Bulldogs have got the, you know, the surprise factor in them for the first week. So I think the Bulldogs in a bit of an upset.
All right, Tigers versus Seagulls. I know who you're going for. I'm going for them as well.
Okay, yeah.
Go the Tigers, not forget they've got some renewed. New news, actually, this week. They'll be buoyed by the fact that Barry O'Farrell has replaced Marina Go as the chairman or the CEO. I think. Whichever one.
So the Tigers are looking forward to some very expensive champagne and wine.
Let's not get into that.
Post-game. So let's go with, I'm tipping the Tigers. I'm just a little concerned that they left Josh Reynolds on the reserves as opposed to the interchange, and they've gone with four forwards. I don't understand that sort of procedure. But look, I'm tipping the Tigers in a new era.
All right, Cowboys and Dragons. This is a tough one because the Dragons have had quite a bit of an off season as well, and quite a few things hanging over them with Jack DeBellin. But I actually think they did all right in the Charity Shield against the Rabbitohs last week for a while, and I think. I think they'll I think they'll do a number on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Dragons too. They're usually great season starters as well. So and they've got a great
the March premiers every year.
They are the March premiers, taking over from the February premiers of Parramatta, right?
So that's right, the trial winners.
The trial winners, yeah. So look, I'm tipping the Dragons as well. The Cowboys have got a lot to prove. I know it's their home game, but I think it'll take them a while to sort of get going. So I'm tipping the Dragons.
Speaking of the Trial Cup winners, Panthers versus the Eels, I'm tipping the Eels.
Yeah, look, I will tip the Panthers. But I think just because it's a home game for the Panthers, I think the Eels are going to show a lot in this game, but I just think that the Panthers have got that finishing touch that perhaps the Parramatta are lacking a bit. So, but I'm looking forward to a good performance from Parramatta on this one. But the Panthers for mine.
Yeah,
is that game on a Monday? No, it's on a Sunday. So they're not doing Monday night games this year.
No, that's right. They've gone our way from that.
Yep.
So it's now going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday only. I do know that the Panthers and Eels, didn't they just play in the trial match like a couple of weeks ago? Why do they pick the same teams for the... Why would you pick the same team in a trial match that you're going to play in a few weeks? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So Titans versus Raiders is the final game. Like, I know last week you tipped the Titans to make the top eight. Bit of a shock. I still don't know why, so I'm tipping the Raiders in this game.
All right, look, I am tipping those Titans to start off strong. I'm looking at play for player. I mean, I don't know who Nicole. Yeah, Jack Whiten is at number six. I don't know how he will go at 5/8. I think the Titans are going to surprise a few people. It's at their home stadium, so why not? They're making the top eight this year. Let's go the Titans.
All right. Well, that concludes the tips. Hopefully, if you're listening to us and you want to make a bet, don't listen to us because we have no idea.
That's right.
Just do the opposite of what we say, and you'll be sweet. All right. Well, that wraps up our podcast, our first kind of business as usual podcast of the year, preview of week one. Of the NRL. Looking forward to it. Enjoy round one, everyone. It should be awesome. Get out there and support your team. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you haven't already done so. You'll get an alert whenever we drop a new podcast. And find us on Facebook and check us out on our website as well. You can also subscribe via RSS feed that way. And, enjoy the game, enjoy the NRL. And, Tish, over to you to wrap this up.
Well, thank you, Dr. T, for another great edition of the episode. Certainly thoroughly enjoyed going through round one and, get out and watch rugby league this weekend. It's going to be an absolutely awesome season with an awesome round one. But, look, that's all the time that we have for this edition of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.